Good morning, Times Square Church Summit Campus. This morning, I would like to share a few thoughts from the Word of God that I have been pondering and thinking and studying. I want to talk to you about it's not enough just to know. We immigrated to the United States in the year of 2000. I was 12 years old, and all that we were allowed to bring with us, it was two suitcases. So just imagine right now, if you had to move somewhere, all what you're allowed to do is take two suitcases with you and start your life over to whatever country. This was our story of our family. Our parents, they wanted a better life for their children. They wanted a better future for their children. And they were bold enough in their 50s to uproot all of the family from Ukraine and bring all of us to the United States of America. We had not seen a whole lot. We had not had the opportunity to work to obtain things. We showed up with two suitcases. We joined our aunt's apartment. I think it was a three-bedroom small apartment. And all of us, the majority of us, were just joining her family. And she had her own two kids to live there till we figure things out what's gonna be next. We had to work hard. We had to figure things out as children, as adults. During the garbage day, whenever when people were throwing things away, for us, that was the opportunity to go and find things so we can furnish our home. That was the reality, couches, mattresses, whatever what it is. That was a blessing. What people thought it's not necessary to have, for immigrants, it was a blessing because it was the day that they were looking forward to bring something to their home. We had to go and clean arenas after parties, after hockey games, till 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning so we can pay the bills. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, we had to get up and go to school. This was our life. And this is what we were taught to do. To have things, you have to work hard to obtain things. And not to expect to people just give it to you, but you have to do your part. But all of the things through life, throughout the years, God has surely blessed our family. Most of them became business people. God has surely blessed them that they had enough not only to support their family, but also to support other people in need. And I'm saying this to share that sometimes whenever when we do things in life, we get used to different things coming into our life, the blessings of the Lord, and we kind of can just live life and think that it's normal. But a few months ago, into our family came the news that one of my brother was diagnosed with cancer. And everything changed. Everything changed, the whole perspective, the whole idea, the whole dream. So following the dream, and it's nothing wrong with having things in life. It's nothing wrong to work hard, to have a beautiful home, to be able to bless your children, to send them to a good school or whatever the case is. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes whenever when God allows things into our life, it awakens us up to really think what's really important in our life. What really matters in our life? And all of us, when we heard the news, we flew to Oregon. We spent a few days together with the family. We just left together. We prayed together. We sang songs together. We're remembering stories from growing up and just doing what the family would do in those kind of circumstances. But then my brother began to also share some of his experiences, some of his things. And his journey, even though he's an associate pastor as well in one of the churches there in Oregon, he began to explain and share that the thought of walking with the Lord became so much real to him. It's not that he was not walking with the Lord before. But the communion that he had with the Lord, the times in prayer, the times when he would read the Word of God, the times when he was spent with the family, he became more intentional about things that really matter. If there was a lot of things that mattered in life, 100 different things that he thought that were important, it was out of all my family, that was my brother. He thought that those 100 things were important. But whenever when this news came to his home, 99% of all of the things that he thought are important and fighting for and thinking that all of those things are worth fighting for, they were gone out of the window. And all of a sudden, what was important is loving the Lord. walking in communion with the Lord, loving your family, loving your children, spending time with them, and also being around people with quality that will encourage you and walk with you all the days of your life. And those are the things that matter. We can have a whole lot of things. People are searching for wealth. People are searching for power, to be known, and all of those things that we think that if you can obtain those things, you'll be good to go. But whenever when the Lord touches our families or our flesh or our bodies, if I can put it that way, all of a sudden, we can come to a point in life knowing that God, all of the things, they don't matter. They can't help me. They can't save me. It's only you. It's only my walk with you. It's only me falling in love with you. It's only me understanding your power, your love, your mercy. And I was listening to Pastor Tim's message from last week, and he quoted one of his friends, and I would like to read that quote and share this message. This quote says this: most people in most churches think they are following Jesus, but I'm not so sure. They may think they are following Jesus, but the reality is this: they have invited Jesus to follow them. I'm afraid we've cheapened the gospel by allowing people to buy in without selling out. And this is the journey sometimes that we face as believers, that we create in our minds what kind of Jesus we want him to accompany our journey. And we invite that Jesus to walk with us, and as long as he agrees with me, I'm okay. But as long as he calls me to something different, to something deeper, I'm not sure if I can follow that. But the last words struck me. I'm afraid we've cheapened the gospel by allowing people to buy in without selling out. The idea that we can follow Christ without giving anything up for it. The idea that we can retain God only into our minds, understanding him. And can I take it further than that? The way we would understand him, it's only the way we would define it. Not necessarily according to the word, but the way I want to define God. We want him to come without exchanging, to sell everything out, to sell all of my ideas, everything that I have, for the sake of be fully in what God has for us. Now, there was a moment where Jesus had a discussion with the Sadducees about the resurrection of Christ, and they were not having it. They brought as an example also about a marriage, that in a family there were seven brothers, and the brothers were passing away, and they asked Jesus a question: so in heaven, who's gonna be the husband of this lady? But Jesus replied to them that they do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. Which is, in that day, out of all the people, they should know the Bible. They should know the scriptures. And now in this context, I want to read the scripture that so often I even quoted, but during this past little while, I've been pondering a lot about this scripture. What does it mean to love God with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and your neighbor as yourself? But more than that, what does it mean to love God with all of your mind? I might not have all the answers, but this is what I have been pondering, especially with the news of my brother, some of the things he's been sharing with the family, the perspective that changed, that this ultimately what it matters, to love God and love other people. Everything comes down to that. So what does that mean? And we've quoted the scripture so often and moved on. But I want to read in the context now, when Jesus is talking with these people, they're saying, you don't know the scriptures, you don't know the power of God. And then one of the teachers, he has a question, one of the scribes has a question for Jesus. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 and down says this: one of the teachers of the religious laws was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? Verse 29. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this: listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must. It's not a suggestion that if you come and follow Jesus Christ, that if you feel like, you can love God. It's a condition now that he's telling the people around him. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. No other commandment is greater than this. Verse 31, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than this. The teacher of the religious law replied, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. Let's stop here for a moment. He comes to a conclusion, hearing the response of Jesus, saying that, listen, I'm giving you the two new laws, so to speak, that you are to fulfill. To love God and love others. To love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. To love God with all of your strength. And also to love your neighbor as yourself. And according to this, all of my kingdom is about this. And the light bulb goes on into this teacher's mind. It says, you have spoken the truth. By saying that there is only one God and no others. How many people stop on this point in life whenever when they hear the gospel, whenever when they hear these words about Jesus, that he is the only one true God. And they stop here, they accept that is the truth, but there is no other step taking as a result. Verse 33, he continues and says this, and I know it is important. So not only he knows that Jesus is speaking the truth, he also comes to the conclusion that it's very, very, very important to love him with all of your heart, with all of my understanding and all of my strength and all that people around me as myself. He comes to that understanding to say it is important to do that. So two things he's realizing. One, you speak the truth that there is only one God. Two, it's very important to do that. And he continues of explaining the importance of what he just heard. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offering and sacrifices required in the law. That was a huge revelation for this teacher, wouldn't you say that? And you would think that Jesus would be like, great job. Now you can just have faith in me and everything is good to go. You're born again, you're saved. Did Jesus say that? Now Jesus is replying, verse 34. Realizing how much the man understood. One more time. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. This scripture struck me. If you would realize what he realized, we would count that person to be saved. But over here, Jesus is saying, it's not enough to know. There's something more that needs to happen. It's not enough to just know theology. It's not enough just to know God or about God only in your mind. But something has to happen more. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't say you're all in. You're not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. What a unique place to be. He was so close to the kingdom of God, yet he was not in the kingdom of God. So close. Realizing the revelation came so close, but not in. You see, knowing about God or having knowledge of God, according to the scripture, is not enough to be in the kingdom of God. So many people know about God, especially in this nation. We know about God. We're close to the kingdom of God. But often people can find themselves not in the kingdom of God. This man understood in his mind, but something was still missing. And in this context of what was missing, we might ask the question, Jesus, the revelation that you're the true God, the revelation that to love you with all of the heart, mind, and soul, and spirit, and with all the strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, this is the greatest revelation that you just shared with the people around you. What was missing? If we can open up the book of Romans, and read the scripture. And as I mentioned, that I want to talk this morning about loving God with all of your mind. So in this context, now we want to read the book of Romans to take a little bit deeper of what was missing in this man's life. The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and down says this. Book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and down. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. For in the same righteousness of God is received from the faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. I want all of us to think for a moment here, to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. In other words, they, knowing God, they refused to honor him as God. Knowing God, they refused to honor him as God. But because useless in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for lie and worship and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And if you go home, I would like to encourage you to continue reading this chapter, to continue reading verse 26 and down. It takes a little bit further, and it talks about the very confusion or the very things of a complicated situation that we face in this nation around the world of the sin of homosexuality, and how sometimes people create their own God, their own understanding, and they inviting God, as I read the quote, to join them in their journey. They're creating a God, a false system, to say, God, I want you to agree with my lifestyle. I want you to come and be part of what or how I understand how I should live. Instead of saying, no, I want to follow you. So in different words, the knowledge of God is there. So many people say, I don't believe in God. Over here, we just read that even the nature speaks about that God exists. And Apostle Paul takes a little further and he says that there will be no excuse for anyone when we stand before the Lord to say that I did not know. Some commentators, they will say that it's not that we do not know that God exists. It's the fact that we push against God. We push against his principles because we do not agree with him. And for that reason, it's easier for us to deny him in those moments of his existence, to say that I'm free to do whatever what I want. So it's not necessarily that the absence of knowing that God is there, because the creation even speaks that he exists. But it's the agreement of loving the Lord with all of your mind. Allah talks over here about mind. Mind. It's not enough to know things, but also to love him with all of our minds. You see, in Romans 1, it addresses to the Gentiles mostly and to the depravity of sin and to the corruption that can happen whenever when we close our minds away from the things of the Lord and we choose to go our own way. But if we continue in chapter 2 of Romans, it also talks about to the Jewish people. And he says, do not judge them that they're doing those things. You can be like, oh, I know the law. I know the things in my mind. I'm trying to fulfill the law. They're like that. And Apostle Paul here says in Romans chapter 2, that the same judgment of God that is upon those that refuse to agree with God and to walk with him can be upon you. You mean you. You are the one that knows the law. You are the one that's trying to fulfill the law. Yes, because he's saying it's not enough to know him here. Something must happen in our life that takes another step. And what is that step? They knew the law, but they would fall under the same judgment as God just mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Because we don't have the capability to love him with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, without being a regenerated person. And this is what Apostle Paul is driving. And this is what I think, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, this is what I think this teacher that came to Jesus and had the question, what should we do? And Jesus just told him, and he says, you're very close. You're very close, but you're not in yet. You're very close, but you're not in yet. In different words, it's not the things that we know. It's the experience when we become born again. It's to be regenerated person. You see, what was missing in the hearts of people is to love God with all of their hearts. This is what it was missing. They knew the knowledge. They knew God. They knew who he was in Romans 1. And they came to a conclusion to go against him. And instead of serving and worshiping the creator, they began to worship a creature. Sometimes our mind can get us in trouble. Sometimes the idea to follow all of the things and philosophies can get us in trouble. Because theology without a love from God can leave us empty. The things that we can know all about, the things that are around in the depths and everything, teachers and Pharisees of that time, they knew. And Apostle Paul, the way he's talking to the Gentiles, he's talking also in Romans chapter 2 to the Jewish people, they knew the law. And he said that the same judgment that they're gonna have upon their lives for rejecting the creator in their mind and living according to their false doctrine and according to their laws, now the same judgment, it can be upon you. You might not even do those things. No, no, no. But you have him in your mind, but it's not enough to have God in our mind. It's deeper than that. To love in that way, it's impossible without regeneration. To love God, this is where I'm on a journey. To love God the way this scripture is saying that the two commandments are standing now. To love God with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. I don't have the capability, I don't have the strength to do that without the regeneration, without being born again. Praise God for the hope that we have in God. That when we do become born again, he helps us to do that, which I'll talk in a moment. Without becoming born again, we cannot love God. We cannot love God. We have nothing within us, no capacity in our sinful fallen nature apart from God that will cause us to love him, to adore him, to obey him, to embrace him, and to walk in his truth. Why? Because the Bible says the people naturally apart from God, they love darkness more than the light. Apart from God, we cling to darkness more than light. But thanks be to God that he did not leave us in this darkness, but he gave us hope through the cross of Jesus Christ. After regeneration, we become open or inclined to the things of God rather than against him. Whenever when we become born again, all of a sudden, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, melts our hearts. And all of a sudden, the door is open. And now we're exposed to the unmeasurable love of Jesus Christ. That has no height, that has no bottom, that has no width. It's the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding. It is the love of Christ when we come to be regenerated and born again believers. You might say, well, I still live in a fallen nature. That is true, we still live in a fallen nature. But thanks be to God that He provided, and now we are going through the process of sanctification. We need it every day of our life, and we're gonna go through this process of sanctification till the day we go home to be with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To love God more and more with our minds. Let the two commandments sink into our hearts. And the two commandments that I just shared, that Jesus Christ has shared with us through the Word of God, may rule our thoughts, decisions, and actions. It's the love of Jesus Christ that will rule our thoughts, our decisions, and our actions whenever when we become born again. When we give our life to Him, now all of a sudden, we don't just make decisions on our own, but we allow the Word of God to guide us, to rule our thoughts. If I'm thinking something, God, is this pleasing You? I'm doing this because I love You. Because before I didn't have the capability, the capacity to love You in that way. But because I love You, I wanna have pure thoughts. Because I love You, I wanna make the right decisions in life. Because I love You, I wanna do the right actions in life. It's because of the love of Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards once said, seeking after God is the main business of a Christian. And how do we seek after God? By pursuing the renewal of our minds. We don't get the love of God from a physical surgery or a procedure or a transplant. The only way we can be transformed is with a renewed mind. With a renewed mind. And I would like to read this scripture. Actually, it's written in Romans chapter 12. If you can open up with me, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and down says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable sacrifice, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. It's renewed mind. Every day, God, renew my mind to understand You more. Renew my mind to know You more, to love You more. So what does it look like to love God with all of our minds? What does it look like? Because this person that Jesus was talking to, this teacher of that time, he said he knew. He understood, the Bible says. He understood what Jesus was saying. Not only he understood, he agreed with Jesus. And Jesus did not say, you're in My kingdom. He says, you're so close. You're so close. So if you're so close, I'm going back to what was Jesus talking about then. Oh, you must love. He says must, not an option. You must love the Lord God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all of your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. There's so much here. There's so much that we can talk and talk about, because the whole commandments, the whole law stays and stands upon these two principles. And I began to pray and I began to think, and as I mentioned about my brother, it's not that he did not love the Lord before, but all of a sudden, whenever shaking things come into our life, things that will shake our faith, things that will shake our belongings, if I can put it that way, things that will help us realize what we're made of, if I can say that. He began to say that all of the things don't matter. All of the things I worked for 20 years and I put my health and everything that I obtain, nothing matters. What matters is walking with the Lord and loving Him. It's not that he didn't do that before, but now it's in a deeper way. My brother, my sister, let us not wait for things in our life to come that can awaken us, that we can say, God, let me figure out what are those things that are so important and grow in them, and grow in them. One of the theologians said this way, To love God with our minds is to hold Him in high esteem. This is what it means to love Him, to hold God in high esteem, to think about Him with reverence and with adoration. You see, we're used to physical love. We're used to married people that it's a love between a husband and a wife. It's a touchy love. You fall in love. But He talks so much deeper about it. It's so much deeper. He says it's in your mind. It's in your thoughts. It's honoring God. Because everything starts over here. To love God with all of our minds is to hold Him in high esteem, to think about Him with reverence and with adoration. The more we love God with our minds, the more we'll be driven to do that other thing that is alien to us in our fallen condition, namely to worship God. And this is exactly goes back to Romans chapter 1. That instead of them worshiping the Creator, they begin to worship the creature. This is what happened whenever when we create things in our mind without being regenerated or born again believer. We begin to worship something. We will worship something. It's either the one true living God or something else. To pursue God with our minds simply for intellectual enjoyment and without the ultimate purpose of loving and worshiping Him is to miss what it means to love Him with our minds. So He's saying, for any other reason, if we love God for any other reason than to compel us to worship Him and to bow before Him and to honor Him as God and to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if we're doing this just for the head knowledge, we're missing the whole point. And again, it ties up back to Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. True knowledge of God always bears fruit in greater love for God. A greater love for God. The more we know Him, the more I love Him. The more I read the Scripture, the more He opens up to me. The more I dive in prayer, the more I understand His love and I love Him. True knowledge of God always bears fruit in greater love for God. To love God with all of your mind, with all of your strength and all of your heart. A greater desire to praise Him. This is what we do when we gather here. This is what the students were doing a Friday night. This is what we do when we go to work or at work or whatever. We praise Him. We praise Him with our lips, with our life. We praise Him. The more we know Him, the more glorious He will appear to us. The more knowledge we'll have about God through the Word of God, being a regenerated person, being a born again believer. We need to read the Scripture even more as born-again believers, as a believer or a new believer or before you get saved. Even more so, even more so. The more we know Him, the more glorious He will appear to us, and the more glorious He appears to us, the more we want to love Him back. And the more glorious He appears to us, more inclined we will be to praise Him, to shout glory to Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, and to obey Him. We do not obey God out of the law. We do not obey God because we imagine Him to be an old grandfather there with a big stick that every time we misobey Him, He hits us. But it comes out of revelation, of this revelation of who God is and loving God because He loved us first. And now as a result, it compels us to worship Him and to obey Him. John reminds us of one truth. The only reason we can love Him is because God loved us first. That's the only reason. We don't have within us on our own apart from God to love Him. We can have knowledge, we can have understanding, we can argue the law, we can argue theology, but without being born again Christian, being a regenerated person, we cannot, we don't have the capacity to love him the way he wants us to love him. But because we're regenerated, because we're born again, because we are with him, no longer we can fall in the category of this teacher that Jesus said, you're so close to the kingdom of God, but you're not in it. We have the privilege of all people in the world to be in the kingdom of God. Because what was missing in this person's life, it was the regeneration. What was missing in Romans 1 and 2, it was the regeneration. It's not enough just to know. It's not enough just to have information. But that information should lead us even in a deeper way with the Lord through regeneration and becoming born again believer. Why? Because he loved us first. He loved us first. Father, we can truly say this morning that we love you to the best of our abilities, because you have loved us first. God, we thank you that we're not outside of your kingdom, but we are in your kingdom because we are regenerated, born again believer. God, we thank you that now, because we are born again, you had gifted us through the power of the Holy Spirit and given us the ability to love you back. Because apart from you, there is nothing within us that will seek you, but you sought us. God, we're so grateful for that. God, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you the more we open up your word, the more you reveal your love to us, and the more we fall in love with you. God, we thank you that you're kind to us, you're merciful to us. Thank you that we can be secure in your hand. And your word says that nothing can pluck us out of your hand. Once we come to you, we belong to you, Jesus. And each one of us, we might be in a different journey of loving you and understanding what it means to love you with all of our mind. I'm on a journey, but teach me, oh God. Teach all of us what it means to love you with all of our minds. Teach us, oh God, not to just be like this teacher that he said, I agree with you. And not only agree with you, but I acknowledge that you speak the truth. But yet he was not in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that we will choose loving you, loving your word, more than all the knowledge in the world that can try to bring hindrance in our walk with you. God, I pray that the more you open up your word to us, that we will be guided by your truth, because scripture interprets scripture. I pray, oh God, that we will always worship the Creator. I pray, oh God, that we will always fall at your feet, and it will cause us to worship you and to honor you, to praise you, to sing songs of praise, because we love you. Teach me to love you more. Teach all of us to love you in a deeper way. Teach us, oh God, how to walk with you. Teach us to go deeper in your word. Teach us, oh God, because the veil was broken and now we can know you face to face, oh Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Father, that we can be a regenerated person. We are born again. We are saved through the cross, through faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross. And now you're giving us the ability to love you back. God, it's your love that is poured in and through our lives that as a result, we love you back. God, we thank you. And I pray that we will love you so much that our actions will be according to your word. I pray, oh God, that we will love you so much with our minds that our thoughts will be towards you. I pray that we will love you so much that we'll make the right decisions in life. I pray, oh God, that we will love you so much that we can say, I'm gonna follow you all the days of my life. God, I pray
that you will do these qualities in our life today. Today that you'll begin to speak to us in a deeper way. That you're an awaken our love towards you in our hearts. Awaken this love in our hearts towards you, O Lord. That will cause us to live a victorious life. That will cause us to walk with you in communion with you. That will cause us to look forward to spending time with you. And this is what you were speaking to a church in Revelation. That I have one thing against you, that you forgot your first love. God, I pray that this will not be our story. I pray, oh God, that we will remember those moments when you got a hold of our lives, when you have saved us. And we loved you, not because we were so good or we were capable to do that, but because you have found us and you have poured out your love upon our lives. And as a result, we loved you back. We loved you back. The moments we were studying the scriptures, the moments we were going to a prayer meeting, the moments we were gathering in the house of the Lord, it was not out of the obligation, but it was because of love. Bring that back to us in this nation. Bring that back to us in this world, oh God. That as believers, as the church of Jesus Christ, we will rise one more time and that we will start serving you, following you, walking with you out of love. Out of love, oh God. That we will not have to be talked into go to a prayer meeting. We will not have to be convinced to come to a church service. We will not have to be talked into connect groups. But God, out of love, we will do this because we love you and we are to love other people. Help us, oh God. Baptize us in your love, oh Jesus. One more time, baptize us, oh Father. Forgive us in the moments where we became so knowledgeable about things that drove us away from loving you. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive us from the moments where we think that obtaining so much knowledge is the result of just living a life. But if we are missing loving you and loving others, we're missing everything. We're just symbols that make noise. God, I pray that you would baptize us in your love. That we will be a church that will be driven by love. By love. And whenever when we do study scripture, whenever when we do study your word, whenever when we do study theology, all of those things will compel us to love you deeper and better. Help us to love you better. And to love us better. Help us to love well, oh God. Give us the grace. And as you spoke to the church, as I mentioned, Lord, bring us back to the first love. Where nothing mattered in life, just our walk in a relationship with you. God, bring us to those moments. Give us the privilege again to experience those moments where we can truly love you. According to your word, not to hear the word that you're so close to my kingdom, but to be in your kingdom, to the regenerating power, being born again believer, in Jesus' name, amen.